Blog Talk Radio.
What is it? 5 minutes below.
You have reached the family of Airwaves America. Renaissance Radio presents the Dave and Gisky Rock Show. This is a show where we try to think for ourselves and offer thought-provoking, stimulating, informative, and entertaining discussion. Welcome.
All right. Hey. Welcome. Just as a side note, this is maddening sometimes. This is Airwaves America. This is Dave Graham. G-Ski's probably going to pop in a little bit later. Renaissance Radio, the show is called Dave and G-Ski Rock Show. If you want to give us a call, 516-387-1705. Had some technicals at the beginning of that. Had to do with logging in, whether I had Chrome or whether I had Firefox or whatever other recommended browser. But in any case, you know, I've been chomping at the bit. We got a great show for you. Of course. If you want to give us a call, 516-387-1705. And if you want to call in, you know the deal. If you want to email us, you can email G-Ski at gskirocks@airwavesamerica.com. You can email me at dave@airwavesamerica.com. And I don't know if that's I don't know if I can actually get into that thing yet, but in any case, I apologize for the opening of the show. We trying to do two or three different things right now. There it is. And I had to log in as G-Ski to start the show, but I had to log in as G-Ski on the Chrome browser. That's what was going on with that, because I was waiting for the show to start, logged in on the wrong side with the wrong browser and all that. So let's see here. Still working on some things. I'm gonna get the chat room up. So let's see who else is there. All right. So it says I'm in the chat, and let's try saying hi again. I just said hi. So now I'm gonna go over here to this browser, and I should say hi as G-Ski. But we'll see if it's him. I don't know if I have to log out. Yo. Nope, it came through as me. It says I'm logged in. I'm not going to change any more settings. If I have to log out, the show is already running, so one of us is logged in. Like I said, I got two different browsers, and I don't know. Still learning, still trying to figure things out. We'll do it. Anyway, we got a great show, as always. We like to talk about what is going on, what hits us, what came across our awareness this week. Last week we had a great show, of course, and we had Bringing It Bowie that called in and had some things going on. The big bombshell last week was the Chinese defector. Of course, now the Chinese people or the Chinese government is denying. They're like, no, what are you talking about? He's over here. And the American government saying, well, we got the guy here. So we don't, you know, there's a lot of things up in the air. Who is the guy that we got, if we got a guy, and, you know, what information has given it? It's like everybody is saying what's predictable for the position that they're in. You know, if you're the Chinese, and one of your guys defected to America and is bleeding secrets or so-called secrets, they would just deny it and say, no, I don't know who that is. This we got that guy who claims to be that person. We have that person right here. So that's what's, you know, that's what their position is. But then again, on our side, we got a guy apparently that indicated, a desire to defect. And we're saying, yeah, well, I don't know who you're saying you got, but we got this guy. So it's all a bunch of games right now. We got Bigfoot in the house. How's it going, Bigfoot? Glad you weren't here for the atrocious opening. I was trying to wrestle with two different browsers, and only one of them was the right browser, but I was logged in as the wrong person on the right browser to get the show started. So the show started like, I don't know, 5 minutes late. So you're up to speed. We were just, I was just retouching the, where we kind of left off last week. Let me see what else. There's election audit information that will be coming soon from Arizona, and it again is predictable how the efforts are being treated by anybody that even dares to bring it up. It's impugned, it's mocked, it's scoffed at, even if you just employ some common sense to everybody claims that this was the most secure election and you should never even question it. Why not? Why not? What was the 2016 election secure? Well, of course not. They cheated with the Russians. But after all the investigation, turns out he didn't. But it's still what they claim, the whole collusion thing. The only thing they could prove was like a few $100 or a few $1,000 in Facebook ads. And they're saying that that was enough by the Russians. That was enough to sway enough people to meddle in elections. Okay. you can't just say, all right, well, I guess the country wants to go in this direction. You can't say that, because then you would be out of power. That's what it's all about, isn't it? That's what it's all about. That's the whole purpose of progressivism, is the acquisition of power and the maintaining of power. So why can't you question the results of an election? Now, it's not that you can't question the results of an election. That's not it. It's that you may not, or let me move this, one may not question the results of this particular election in 2020. That's what it boils down to. In which case, how can people not see, even anti-Trumpers, even progressives, even lefties, how can they not see at least a little bit of hypocrisy? How can they not see just this particular election? Even if they get past their own personal Trump hate, even if they get past that, they should be able to see. They should be able to see that it's personal at this point. They should be able to see that it's partisan at this point. It's like conservatives used to be fine until Trump came. Well, now there's so much hatred for Trump that anything conservative is to be denounced, is to be ridiculed, is to be impugned. Well, why all of a sudden? I think it's because Trump is still a threat to their power. Still there. He's still in play. They were unable to impeach him, which would have rendered his running for office, again, moot. They were unable to do that. Even with all the bogus crap that they've drummed up, they were unable to remove him from the game. And he's still in the game, and he's still very much in very much in the game. Now, I don't go as far as some people go that say, I mean, I come across some TikToks. I have to be careful which ones I believe. And I'm not sure I believe the ones that say, you know, I had one that said, you know, Dr. Fauci was arrested by Navy SEALs on order of President Trump. You know, it's like yesterday or whatever. I'm like, no, yeah, okay. I'm not. Maybe, but I'm going to need more sources than you, you know. that's how I approach that. But anybody now who speaks out, except for, you know, anybody with any prominence, let's put it that way, because I'm sitting here, I'm running my mouth. I'm talking about election audits. I'm talking about voter fraud. I'm talking about, you know, massive Trump won stuff. Right, because that's the evidence that I've seen. That's what I believe, and fair enough. That's what I want to believe, because I don't like the direction that the country is going now. But I don't have a whole ton of eyeballs. I don't have a whole ton of ear lobes listening to me. I am not what you would call at this point in time an influencer, and that's fine. I'm doing my thing. I'm not, you know, I don't have high aspirations. But now you take a guy like Rudy Giuliani, who in New York had his law license suspended for what reason? For proclaiming what was deemed misinformation while he was representing Donald Trump. So does that mean Stacey Abrams is going to have her license suspended? She still hasn't conceded her governor loss in Georgia. Does that mean Hillary Clinton would have her law license suspended? And if not, why not? Because they all claimed, I mean, this is just off the top of my head. I haven't, you know, again, we've sworn off most show prep. I haven't done a whole lot. So, I mean, I kind of stay plugged in a little bit during the day. So off the top of my head, I'm like, who else was claiming that's a lawyer anyways? What about Adam Schiff? Isn't he a lawyer? What about the lies he introduced to the impeachment thing? Jerry Nadler. Are they lawyers? Do they have law licenses? Why? I mean, if you're going to suspend a law license as a punishment for suspected misinformation, why not suspend the licenses for people who have proven to spread misinformation? Plenty of sources that you can point to that would, you know, out all these other lawyers that were running their mouth about how the election was stolen in 2016, about how he's an illegitimate president, about how he did the quid pro quo, or about how the telephone call, or how about how now brown cow. It wouldn't make sense. So why, I mean, this is obviously rhetorical. But like, why is it all only going in one direction? And how can more people not see that it only goes in one direction? Is there not such a thing as math? Is there not such a thing as law of averages? Is there not such a thing as, you know, if they were fair about it, there'd be plenty that go the other way? It never, ever, 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 ever goes against progressives. It never does. Why? And how do you justify that? Is math not a science? Do you not believe in science? You're a science denier. Is that it? Because even the law of averages even the law of averages would out a whole bunch more people. If you're suspending law licenses based on what you deem as somebody, you know, spreading misinformation or whatever it was, however they worded it, I can't remember exactly what it was. Then, you know, let's get to it and get them all. You know, let's get them all. If that's what they're doing, man, oh man, wouldn't you be able to root out a whole lot of corruption just by using that? But like I said, it only goes in one direction. So it's outrageous, really is, that Giuliani has his law license suspended. And truth be known, it's just because he's effective. A, he's effective, and B, he is credible. So they have to attack, and this is Saul Alinsky all the way. They have to attack, and they have to discredit. They have to ridicule. They have to impugn. They have to throw everything they can at this one person. They've personalized and polarized this one person, which is what they do, and it's how they do it. To be, you know, to discredit him. And it's outrageous. It's atrocious. It's embarrassing. And actually, it's a little bit scary. And how can you not see the tyranny that is blossoming in the wake of Donald Trump's presidency? Anything that is a pro-Trump is stomped and snuffed out with prejudice. Anyways. That was one of the things I wanted to hit, is the Giuliani thing. Let's see. Like I said, G-Ski may be popping in a little bit later. I've got a couple more. Let me see if I can find it here. A couple more think for yourself things. Let's probably revisit that. Before I take a break, I'm going to take a little bottom of the hour type thing. But the Think for Yourself series, where you start thinking about how to get people to actually think for themselves. And again, if anybody has any ideas on, you know, good points that would be good for arguing with progressives, and I've got an exchange with a so-called friend that on Facebook. He's just so beyond reach that, you know, it's he's just the alpha. 0 to 100. This guy goes 0 to 100. The Think for Yourself series is every grievance that you're aware of by any group. How did you first become aware of it? Did you become aware of it by people within the so-called group? Or did you hear it from somebody else who's not in that group, but quote-unquote on behalf of that group? In other words, they're outside agitators. Look at those people over there. They have this going on and that going on. And it's these people's fault. And the people who are agitating are never really in the fray. What they're doing is trying to get two other separate groups of people at odds. I say, I say through education, we discover who the agitators are and gang up on them for agitating. That's one way. So another thing you can ask yourself is, what would it look like if activists on either side got everything they wanted because of what they advocate for and what they promote? We're going to explore a little bit of the Joe Biden whisper session today later on. If they got if progressives got everything they wanted, you have no idea. It would be North Korea. It would be absolutely North Korea, and they would be happy. And they would, you know what else they would do? They would tell you that you're happy. That's where it goes. And that's as far as it goes. And you know what? It won't stop there, because as we discussed, they are never satiated. They are never satisfied. Well, what if the conservatives got everything that they wanted? What kind of liberty would you have? You would have freedom. You would have a smaller government. We would not be in quite so much debt. I'm not talking about Republicans, because they'll spend just like Democrats. They're the same thing. But if you've got, you know, responsible conservatives that really try to, you know, take some bites out of the debt, that would help. You would have a smaller government. You would have greater representation. There would be, you know, free and fair elections. Well, it would be fair unless you were on the other side and didn't win. Then it's no fair. It's not fair. I didn't win. It's not fair. All right. So whatever. But, you know, you just kind of extrapolate out the arc of what it would really be. Now, I will stipulate that if I was sitting next to somebody like maybe my buddy from work who you know has the quote unquote progressive values, you know, that's kind of an oxymoron to me. If he was extrapolating out, he would think that the progressives would be totally free, and everybody would be, you know, everybody would be equal, and everybody would have the same amount of money. Everybody would have the same, you know, everybody would have their needs met by the government, and that would be utopia for him. You know, it would be, well, I can go to work if I want to. I guess I don't have to. And then him extrapolating my side out would be into fascism, which is, you know, obviously only because of how it's been framed and how it's been presented. Do I want to stop women from having the choice of what they do? No, I just don't want my tax money to pay for it. So what's wrong with that? You know what I mean? But the way they see it is, you know, I'm going to make that woman have the baby and, you know, whatever, as opposed to making a choice to kill the baby, which they would phrase it another way. But it goes there fast. But there's, you know, I don't know exactly everything he would think, and it would be an interesting conversation with him. But so that's another way to try to get people to think for themselves. I'm doing it right now, live on the air, trying to think it through, trying to extrapolate, trying to put myself in the other person's shoes. How would they see me? You know, that type of thing. And it's all critical thinking. So it's not critical theory, it's critical thinking. So there's a big difference. So the next thing is, you know, what would you rather be considered as, stereotyped as part of a group or as an individual responsible for your own actions? You know, it's not like they say all white people are racist. Excuse me. That's a broad brush. That's a stereotype. And it's not even true, even just because you say it. There are some racist people. Yes, absolutely. Some of them are white. Some of them are not white, believe it or not. People are people. And my thing is, I would rather be treated as an individual rather than stereotyped as automatically being whatever that group is. It's a good way to try to point out how the groups are identified, and then the two stereotypes are at odds, and then they can, again, agitation, they sit back and they pit one stereotype group against the other stereotype group. And if you identify with anything within that other stereotype group, you must go after that other group, even if you don't. I mean, it's you agree with somebody going after that group. Well, then that puts you in that group, right? Anyways, it's better in my opinion to be treated as an individual instead of part of a stereotyped group. And what does, when they come up with a talking point, you have to realize that talking points, when you go to one channel and you hear a word or a phrase, you go to another channel, you hear the same word or phrase, you go to another channel, you hear the same. If you hear the same word or phrase from two to three different sources, that means that word or phrase, I guarantee, has been washed through a focus group. I guarantee it. I guarantee it's been washed through a focus group. All a focus group is hired to do is to measure as best that they can with a dial their level of emotion. How emotional do you feel when you hear this word X? Well, I feel this much. What about this word? Why? Ooh, that one hit me a little bit more. What about this one? No, that one doesn't do anything for me. What about this one? Ooh, that one's hot. And they get 6 or 7, maybe 10, 12 people to all turn their dial, and then they distill all that information and find out what word got the highest emotion out of the most people. That's the word they go with. That's the phrase they go with. That's what a focus group does. So anytime you hear the same word or phrase from two to three different sources, you can bet that that word or phrase is the result of a focus group. You know, it doesn't matter who. I mean, it's the polling companies that end up using or brandishing focus groups, because they also poll the group on, you know, whatever's going on, whatever they want to know. So it's kind of interesting to kind of identify talking points and say, okay, yeah, all right, I got it. That's been washed through the focus group, hasn't it? Yeah. But not a lot of people know that. Not a lot of people realize it. And, excuse me, the people that don't realize that this is basically psychology weaponized. And if you don't realize, if you are not aware of the concept of weaponized psychology, then you'll be affected by it. If we can get out there what focus groups do, what the point of them is, and what what I just ran through, if we can get that stuff out there, maybe more people will start to realize, oh, yeah, okay, whatever. Because now talking points, I don't buy in. I don't buy into the emotion of the talking point. I know plenty of people who do, and they're totally invested in whatever the talking point is. Oh yeah, I heard that on three different places. They said this and this. Yeah, of course you did. Do you know why you heard it on four or five different places? No, you don't. So yeah, you walk through talking points and focus groups, but beyond that, to get that going, you have to kind of dissect the talking point, because if they got an emotional word picture from a talking point word or phrase, make them explain it. I mean, there's a lot of power in the question, well, what does that mean? What does it mean? And that's a simple question. You know, what do you mean, what does it mean? What, walk me through it. What do you see as the definition? What, define that talking point. I want you to give me an example of what goes on within that talking point. What people do this? Which people do that? Do you have names? No, you don't have names. You just have an idea. You have to pin it down, because talking points obviously are generalized. So you ask, what does that mean? And what does it look like? What else could it, you know, can you get out of it? I'm going to just write that one down. What does it mean? Question mark, question mark. Oh. Anyways, that's one of the other think for yourself segments there. So then when you go to the next one that I have, is the word democracy. Well, what do you mean by democracy? You mean one man, one vote. Well, let's think that through. In history, Athens was a democracy. It was one of the most famous democracies. And laws were generated by whoever voted on the law within that society. Okay, makes sense. Sure. Oh, yeah, got it, right? However, the people who voted on the laws in that society were only the people who showed up. Think about that. What's your voting turnout? 50%, if that. Maybe a little bit more lately with all the mail-ins and absentees and all that. But okay, so of the people who showed up to vote, 50% plus one person was carried the day, whatever it was. And back in the day, I learned this from the Hillsdale College classes from Larry Arn, the president of Hillsdale College. He did a couple of lectures, and he was talking about back in Athens. One of the biggest things that they would vote on is going to war. That was one of the biggest things they voted. So they would have some people down there, and they would give a bunch of speeches. And then they would put it out to vote. And, you know, obviously within the speeches, it would make the case for going to war with X. Okay. So then 50% plus one or whatever the vote was, they say, okay, yeah, we're going to war. So then, you know, a month or so later, it's time for the society to get back together and vote again. You get different people giving different speeches, and they're saying, well, what are we doing over there? We're not supposed to be at war with them. They did this and this and this. So then they convince everybody not only to end the war, but to arrest the people who did go to war And it was like a vicious circle. So in other words, whoever showed up to make the speeches and sway the people, that carried the day, because all they had to do was convince 50% plus one to win the day with their legislation or whatever it was. Which means pure democracy, which is what they don't realize that the progressives I'm talking about, they don't realize that this can work against them as well. It only works for the people who get to the top and stay at the top. And then once you're at the top, you can then control all the information so that people never hear that different set of speeches to end the war and arrest the other people or whatever it was, as an example. So if 50% plus one would carry the day, would you be able, would it be possible for enough people to show up at any given time to vote to take away some God-given rights from other people? I don't see why not. It would be pretty easy for them to do if they had one person, one vote, plus all the cheating that they do. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I didn't really mean to say that. Yes, I did. Are you comfortable with any group? Well, let me rephrase. Are you comfortable with your natural rights up on the auction block for the highest bidder to vote on? 50% plus one person. My right to life? My right to defend my life? My right to my property? My right to call on my faculties to get me, you know, to the highest level my faculties can take me. The highest use of my faculties. My right to speak and say whatever I want. Natural rights. My right to representation. Are you comfortable with those rights being up on the auction block for people to vote on? Even if you happen to be on the side that votes to save the rights or to keep the rights, there's going to be another meeting next month. And there'll be different people that show up. There'll be different people that give speeches. And your rights are still on that chopping block. That's what democracy will give you. Democracy, one man, one vote. I am not comfortable with my natural rights able to be voted up or down by 50% plus one person. Majority rules. That's scary. You don't want that. And you don't realize that you don't want that if you're on the other side. You say, oh, yeah, one person, one vote. Okay, really? What if we're voting on have a personal firearm. Voting on your right to say whatever it is you want to say. Voting on your right to post whatever you want. And no one can say anything. No one can respond. You can post whatever you want. No one gets to say anything back. Because right now, you can say whatever you want. You can post whatever you want. The consequence is how people see it. The consequence is how will people respond. And you know what? They get to respond. They get to respond however they want to respond. So right now, that's the cost of free speech. You can say what you want. However, anybody else can say what they want. And that's fine. I don't need you to shut up. I don't need you to believe everything that I want, that I do. I just really, really need you to think for yourself, you know? And this is what kind of what we're going through right now. So the one I put in today, if you look at history and you see totalitarian regimes, or even right now, like Iran is a totalitarian regime, North Korea is a totalitarian regime. But the reason they got to totalitarianism is through the consolidation of power. Whenever power is consolidated, it is human nature to crave it and to want to control it. But can you not see parallels going on now? Maybe it's not the government. Maybe it's Facebook shutting you down. Maybe it's Twitter that puts you in jail or whatever. There's a ton of things that are being done, not necessarily at the behest of government or by government. Who's that? Douglas V. Gibb. He's a constitutionalist. I spoke with him on he had a blog talk radio show. He had also a regular radio show too. He was, you know, I learned a lot from listening to his shows because he always breaks down, you know, history and the Constitution and stuff like that. And, That was where I got the shorthand version of a democracy versus a republic. So if you have a democracy, you have two wolves and a sheep discussing what's for dinner. Democracy, majority rules. In a republic, you have two wolves and a well-armed sheep discussing the same. That was one of his little things, but yeah, he had another one. I forgot what it was. I forgot where I was going with that. It'll come back to me. It was human nature, the consolidation of power, the parallels in going on now. It's the surrendering government necessarily, surrendering your rights or whatever to an ideology, not to government. It just so happens that government, half of our government totally supports that particular ideology. So you might not work for the government, but the government will certainly support you knocking the hell out of somebody that you don't agree with, if you're doing their bidding. I mean, look at BLM as opposed to, you know, what they call the insurrectionists on July 6th. Not even a fair comparison. Look at the dollar amount of damage. It's not even a close comparison. BLM and Antifa have done billions and billions of dollars in damage over the past summer. Nothing happened to them. You know, we need to let them have the space to express. Okay. When they come into the Capitol, when they're allowed into the Capitol, when people are waved on in, come in this way, you know, then where's the comparison? Where's the fairness? Where is the equality in treatment? Well, there isn't. There just plain isn't any. So that's the think for yourself piece. Anybody have any input on that? I'll take it. I'll take requests and critique on that. I just have a couple of things, you know, that I keep, every time I think of a new thing to put on this think for yourself thing, it's good to go through it just so that every time I go through it, I kind of get like a different little slant on it. I can get, you know, something, it triggers something else, a different angle, you know, just a different way to express the concept that what I, you know, what I'm trying to come up with and what I'm trying to, you know, obviously I'm trying to distill it down to the simplest point. And, sometimes it works. Today's was probably the talking point thing, because, you know, the focus group. I know I've talked about it before, but I just don't know to what degree we've really gotten into the talking points and how they generate the phrases or the words or whatever. So. All right, so look, I got. I'm gonna do a couple minutes of. As soon as I get my thing back, we'll do a couple minutes of some promos, and we'll be back in here. Maybe G Skeel would join us for the second hour. I hope he will. I do have some other things that we can hit. I got some sound, some Biden sound, and I've got some other things to hit. So, anyways. You're listening to the Dave and G-Ski Rocks Show. We'll be right back. Here's the bacon song.
Good evening.
Well, I used to eat bacon, 'cause I like the way it tastes. Now I eat it for jihadis, just to say in your face,
I kill you.
I eat bacon, wrapped in bacon, rolled in bacon bits. I don't care if they like it or not. It offends them. It's in their Quran.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's right.
You ain't gonna take my bacon.
No.
I'm glad you're offended to your shoes. 'Cause I'd rather.
See what I'm trying to say, Abdul? I'd
rather you got over yourself, put an end to all this righteous indignation. Have some bacon and enjoy it. We can all get along, and from war enjoy permanent vacation. Agitation.
your macaroni and cheese. I'd rather replace all the water in airport foot washes with gallons of bacon grease than worry about offending you. I'd rather eat bacon wrapped in bacon, rolled in bacon bits off your Koran, open to 9-5. Then worry about offending you.
Knock, knock. Who's there?
Me. I kill you.
You're listening to Renaissance Radio on Airwaves America with Dave and GC Rock.
I am Conor McGregor, multiple weight MMA champion. I'm a fighter and I've been through many battles in the octagon. Many consider my fights in the octagon heroic, but the real life heroes are those men and women who fight to protect us every day. The real life fighters, the real life heroes, are the firefighters and police officers. These first responders are true heroes, because these brave men and women put themselves in the line of danger every single day protecting us all. The Tunnel to Towers Foundation ensures that first responders from fire, EMS and police departments who are killed in the line of duty with young children have a home without the burden of a mortgage. They are my heroes. They need our help today. I'd like to ask you to join me in donating $11 a month to support their efforts. Your $11 a month honors and supports our first responders. Please call now at 1-844-BRAVEST or visit tunneltotowers.org.
You're listening to Renaissance Radio on Airwaves America with Dave and GC Rock.
I love life. I love life because there's a challenge and something new every day. I was told when I was getting married that I had this kidney disease and my three sisters had it and two of my brothers had it. It slows the kidneys down till they stop working. I tell myself that this can be rough and hard, but you can live and you can be happy. I go to dialysis 3 times a week. I spend 4 hours in the center. It's good to go to dialysis and see somebody care about you. I'm a social worker by profession. I like being around people. It is important to listen to your technicians and your doctors, your nephrologists and dietitians. If you don't talk to them, they don't know you're feeling bad or feeling sick. By working together, you'll feel better. I got my husband, I got my family, I got my job. I visit different places doing health and wellness like hospitals, dialysis centers, clinics, and do workshops concerning prevention for kidney failure. Dialysis affects people in different ways. Find out how it affects you so you can be able to beat it to the punch so you'll be able to be active and do things that you want to do. Be educated about what's going on with you and your body. I try to enjoy life more than what I have before. I have kidney failure, and I'm living well.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
You have reached the family of Airwaves America. Renaissance Radio presents The Dave and GC Rock Show. Thanks for joining our informative, stimulating,
thought-provoking, and entertaining show. Welcome.
Indeed, welcome, welcome, welcome back to the second hour of the Dave and Jiski Rock Show. Haven't heard from him. He was at an eye doctor appointment. He said he might be late or something. We'll see. You know, we wish him well and whatever he's doing. I know he has to probably also hit his dialysis machine, and you know, maybe he can get himself hooked up with that and give us a buzz in. He's going to have to text me so that I can log out of his account, because I don't think two people can log into the same account. Because I needed to log into his account to start the show. So it was supposed to start automatically, I thought, but it didn't. That's why I was a little five minutes into it. So, yeah, this is the Dave and Jiski Rock Show. Jiski may be joining us later. Maybe not. We'll see. We got a great show for you. I think we've covered some pretty good ground already where, you know, between talking about the Rudy Giuliani, talking about the Think for Yourself series that I'm kind of developing right now. I also have a little bit of TikTok audio. Oh, and I can't let the show go without saying this word: lickspittle. Love that word. It's fantastic. I wrote it on my show notes in like super giant font, so I'll see it. So I said, I didn't even have to apply it to anything. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, lickspittle. Like it's a name for a band or something. I don't know. We'll see. Our president is possessed, I think. We have some creepy whispering going on, and I want to talk a little bit about that. So let me play you. I got a couple different TikToks. Sometimes they just isolate the juicy parts, and they leave out a little bit of the adjoining words. But there's a lot here in these two.
Already prepared voters for this.
Okay, here it is.
Asking me, well, you know, guess what? Employers can't find workers. I said, yeah, pay them more. This is an employees bargaining chip now.
Okay, I'm going to pause it right there. What he's saying is business leaders, professionals are making it known that they're having a hard time finding people to work. And his knee-jerk, ridiculous, left-wing agenda thinks it's okay to respond with, in a whisper, in a condescending whisper tone, to tell them, yeah, pay them more. Excuse me. Where in the Constitution does it say that this is part of your job? You can't even say that it's for the general welfare, because it's not. If these people can't find employees because you're paying the employees more for them to not work, then if they go out of business, how is that? How is it to the general welfare of the nation? You can't even put it on the general welfare clause. It's an emotional argument meant to get through to people. It's a talking point. Pay them more. Like it's that easy. Well, it might, even if they paid them more, okay, even if it was the purview of the United States government to dictate to employers to pay more to their employees, to compete, as it were, with the government, who is not even in the same field as these people. They're not even in okay, I just heard from him. Just heard from G-Ski. As you see, I am not home. Okay. All right. So he's otherwise engaged. So we'll let that go. He probably won't be making it in. Even if it was the government's purview to have businesses to dictate what businesses will pay to their employees, that's a short term thing. Okay, let's say that they raise what they're paying. Well, there are things that are called margins, and you can't stay in business unless you make a certain margin. It has very little to do with profits for the business owner. Eventually, it will turn into that. But if you get somebody that's just started a business, even if it's a restaurant, I mean, those are hard to work anyways. They're hard to get off the ground. But if you now have to pay people more than what the government is paying them to not work, I mean, that is the most unfair, unjust. That is the most unfair, unjust version of life in America, where businesses have to compete with the government, who, you know, obviously money is no object for them. You know, you can't compete with the government. All right, here we go. Here's some of the rest of this. Biden tells struggling small businesses to compete with the federal government paying people not to work.
What's happening?
Oh, that's what he said. He said it's a bargaining chip for the workers. All right, we'll circle back. Here we go.
They're going to have to compete and start paying hardworking people a decent wage.
Okay, they're going to have to compete and start paying people a decent wage. Compete with whom? Are they not already competing with people in their field? Yes, they are. Hey, bringing it, Bowie's in the show. What's up, buddy? So Biden is thinking that businesses should compete. Well, they're already competing. Except now Biden has gotten into every field that there is by giving individual checks. I got another. All right, so let's see the rest of this one.
You're asking me.
Okay.
Asking me.
Here's the next one.
I got them. $1.9 trillion relief so far. They're going to be getting checks in the mail that are consequential.
I got them $1.9 trillion in relief. They're going to be getting checks in the mail that are consequential. He is so excited. You can see it. He's whispering condescendingly, but he's whispering because he's excited about this. About the government injecting themselves into every field there is ever in the world. Every field of business by paying individuals more to not work. Well, how can anybody compete with that? That is the whole point of the government staying out of business. Not that the government isn't in enough business with you know, the lobbyists and stuff like that. Not that they're not in enough of that. It's brazen what he's saying. If you look at it, he's giving away their motive, and their motive is to compete with business. Any business. Well, unconstitutional, unethical. Here's the rest of it.
This week for childcare, A lot has been happened already.
Wait a minute. A lot has been happened already. Good job, Joe.
Number one. Number two, I'm going to fight like heck to get them the rest of what I think has to be done.
Okay, so 1.9 trillion in relief because supposedly COVID put them out of work. I don't know about anybody else. I was working right along. I was doing my job. I went to work every day. Got to deliver the mail, right? So how's that fair to me? Everybody else got paid to sit at home. I had to get out and work. Not that I want, you know, not that I need a whole lot of stuff. So what's bringing it, say? Bringing a buoy. Prostitution is their competition for the government. See, prostitution seems like, it seems like the kind of thing that people will do anyways on top of whatever the government is paying. They'll do prostitution under the table, so to speak. So I don't know if that's competition or supplemental. Either way. I'm getting to a bigger point here. Let me see what else is on this this particular clip.
On education, for example, my proposal was in the family plan.
Freelance, yeah.
Early education and free community college. I'm going to fight like the devil to get that done. But it's not.
Early education and free community college. So that they can have our kids from cradle to grave, basically. By then, they'll be indoctrinated. But they can't, they dare not say that. They dare not say that. That they want the children to be indoctrinated. Screw you, Joe. All right, here.
I'm not going to be with Republican help. I'm going to have to get every Democrat and do it through reconciliation.
Oh. It's not going to be with Republican help. Boy, his eyebrows are way up at the top of his head saying this. He is so excited. He's going to have to do it through every Democrat and reconciliation. Reconciliation is a simple majority. Except anything that's budgetary requires 60 votes in the Senate, not simple majority. But if they call it reconciliation, then they can go with simple majority. That's how they got Obamacare passed, even though it was laying taxes type of thing. Anything like that, any budgetary legislation has to have bipartisan. Well, they just reversed it all and said, okay, well, we're going to do it by reconciliation. And they passed it with like one or two votes to spare. Well, that's what he's going to do with this. With his majority in the Senate. Senate's 50-50. And if Georgia, that's the other thing, if Georgia does like an audit, and even the audit, even the investigation that they've done so far, overturned enough illegitimate ballots so that the other, I don't even know his name, but the other senator from Georgia would have won. And it wouldn't have even gone to a runoff. He would have won in the general. So it wouldn't have been a runoff, and the Democrat wouldn't have won. So it wouldn't be 50-50. It would be 51-49. And Kamala Harris would not come into play. But let's talk about what he said. He whispered into the microphone that he got $1.9 trillion in relief for, I guess, whoever applied for it. 1.9 trillion. Okay, first of all, that's like astronomical. We talked about that. A trillion seconds is 31,709 years. A trillion seconds. 31,000 years. 31,000 plus. A billion seconds is 31, it's still 3,000 years. You know, you're talking human history, you know, to like 4,000 years, maybe five, you know, human history, 5,000 years. Okay, a billion seconds. A billion seconds is 3,109 years. A trillion seconds is 31,709 billion years. To years. He got $1.9 trillion in relief. Well, okay, good for you. So let's put that aside. He then says that this is now a workers' bargaining chip. If that doesn't give the motive away, it has not, in other words, it has nothing to do with COVID relief. It has nothing to do with infrastructure. It has nothing to do with voter integrity, whatever other BS they're trying to pass. It has to do with a bargaining chip for workers. Is that the job of the federal government? I don't think so. You're going to have a hard time showing me how they justify that constitutionally if that's the reason that they give now in whispered tones into a microphone in front of the whole world. Did somebody tell him to do that? Because that's like... I don't know. Whispered, creepy. So what else did he say? He said it's for early child care and community college. He's going to fight like heck for all that. They've been trying for that for a long time anyways. That's probably... They probably put the early childhood in the community college in the Green New Deal. They probably just wedged it into there, whatever it is. Oh, he said he wrote the bill. That was the other thing he said. I'm just trying to think back on what he said. I wrote the bill. He wrote the environmental bill. Bragging about all this. And then he says, you know, businesses tell me I'm not, they're not able to hire workers. And he says, yeah, pay them more. You big dummies. I can't believe how dummies you are. Pay them more. Oh, well, okay. All right. So the way a business works is they have a product or a service that people want to buy. You need to service those people who would give money to your business for that product or service. If you are unable to service, well, that we'll call that person I'm just off the top of my head out of the blue. We'll call that person a customer, someone who would spend money on your product or service. If you can't hire people to service that customer, well, then likely that customer is not going to give your business that money. So you won't have that money to pay the people that you don't have to service that customer more money. You didn't think this one through. It's not up to the government to redistribute wealth, which is another thing. They're taking money, well, they're borrowing from not just you and me, they're borrowing from our children, and not just our children, they're borrowing from their children and their children. And shall we go another generation hence with another $2 trillion? They just throw those numbers around and nobody, you know, a billion used to be scary. It's nothing now. But yeah, so are they just gonna take the money from us who are working and taking money from our children and their children and their children to give it to people now who are not working and who are making the choice to not work because it makes more money. The government has started a whole new field of business. It produces nothing. It sells nothing. It creates nothing. All it does is pay people to not work. That's a whole new industry. Well, who the hell can compete with that? Can you imagine in 10 years, you know, hey, what do you want to do, Johnny, when you grow up? Oh, I want to be in the nothing industry. Okay. Well, that's pretty ambitious. Any way we can inspire you to aspire higher? Probably not. It has to do with, you know, the lower end of human nature to just not be, to want to be lazy, you know. I mean, you examine, I think I may have done it early on in the show, the seven deadly sins, you know, sloth is one of them. You know, you give into that and you got to then overcome it if you want to climb out of it, you know, being lazy and stuff like that. Once you've been out of work for like a year, you're almost not even employable. And do you think these people don't know that? They have weaponized this psychology, and it's basically, okay, let's say it, it's Marxism. And it has been weaponized against this country. Everything is bad. Everything that was good is bad. That's Marxism. Everything that was bad is now good. Okay? It's the attack on the natural law. Parasite consumer for a living is what they are. That's not bad. That's bringing it boy's contribution to that little riff I just did. So, yeah, you know. That's a whole new industry going in. It's the parasite consumer for a living industry. Yeah, I wonder if we can figure out a good name for that. The plunder industry. What do you think? Just a thought. In any case, the government in the plunder industry can compete with everybody in every other industry. Yeah. In any case, that's what Biden has been talking about, and I listened to a little bit today, a little bit of Dan Bongino today, and a little bit of I don't think Levin had hit it yet, so by the time I'm like a day behind with him. Listen to the podcast the next day, so I'm not up, you know. Up to date on that. So let me just throw this out there. It was something that occurred to me when I was listening to the creepy whisperer whisper creepily into the microphone and condescendingly, pay them more, you big dummies. Yeah, teeth sucklers. Like it. I like it. So it kind of occurred to me that if there's companies out there that had contracts based on, you know, people that were, you know, working or contracts with people who are now being paid not to work, I wonder how if some of those businesses that are like either on the verge of or had to go out of business can bring a lawsuit against the federal government for tortious interference with the contract. Because that's kind of what they've done. There's, you know, you can probably apply that to a lot of different situations, you know, with freelance workers, gig workers. You know, people are getting paid now to sit home. Well, you had a contract with them to work, and now you can't do it, so you have to cancel this, and now you're out all that other money that you promised would make, would make you the money. Sorry, I'm trying to multitask here. I'm getting a text about something I got for sale, so I wanted to kind of wrap my head around it. Got it. All right. Listen, I'm going to, let's take a quick break, and we'll be back for the last half hour, and maybe we'll have Bringing It Boy give a call in. He was a great addition to the show last week, so we'll see. Maybe he can chime in a little bit. That'd be awesome. I needed something to bounce off of, so I'll be right back.
You're listening to Renaissance Radio on Airwaves America with Dave and GC Rock.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time, as in spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Tell me, mama, are we there yet?
We can create a million new manufacturing jobs in the next 4 years. If you believe in a country where everyone gets a fair shot and everyone does their fair share and everyone plays by the same rules. Yes, our road is longer, but we travel it together.
Imagine the breakthroughs that are on the horizon. And just beyond.
Tell me, mama, are we there yet?
America, I never said this journey would be easy, and I won't promise that now.
Tell me, mama, are we there yet?
Yes, our path is harder, but it leads to a better place.
Mama, are we there yet?
Are we there yet?
Not yet.
Are we there yet?
No.
Are we there yet?
Are we there yet? Are we there yet?
Are we there yet?
Tell me, mama, are we there yet? Are we there yet?
Tell me, mama, are we there yet?
It's literally around the corner.
Tell me, mama, are we there yet?
Imagine a world in which hunger is vanquished by crops that don't depend on the soil, water, or fertilizer, or pesticides to thrive.
Are we there yet?
They're just around the corner.
Tell me, mama, are we there yet?
Imagine a world in which nations no longer depend on nuclear weapons for their defense.
Tell me, mama, are we there yet? Tell me, mama, are we there yet?
Hey, welcome back. So I think I have Bringing It Boy on the line. Is that you?
Yes, it is. It's me. I was just trying to get my podcast voice going.
Nice. Well, I appreciate you giving us a call, for sure. You know, it's hard to just gulp 2 hours without any, you know, notes. So I'll take anything I can to bounce off of. So what you got?
So far I've heard you seem to be pretty good going off the wind like this.
I know, or you're not running out. I'm glad it sounded okay, from the outside. That's fine. But I'm sitting here, looking at what I got left. What do you got, buddy?
Well, what I got was I was coming home from work and I listened to one of our radio shows here on the radio, and they were talking about our governor here, Newsom, that he extended the eviction for people for this COVID. He sent it till September, where they're going to get paid 100% now. Gas and
who's
water.
Who's going to get paid 100%? The landlord?
Newsom. Yeah, landlord. Yes, I'm sorry. Yeah,
okay.
That would help. The landlord. Oh. Yes, he's going to be the pizza.
Well, I saw an article that might explain why he did that. It was the WashingtonExaminer.com, and it was it said the headline is the Newsom recall moves forward because he met the signature threshold. They had like 2 or 3 months to eliminate any unwanted signatures, and I'm glad you called because I was actually this was going to be one of the last things that I brought up with. After all the ones that, they gave people a chance to, do you still want your name on? Do you really want your name on the list? Can we take your name off the list? Can we count on taking your name off the list? After all of whatever, a month or so or 2 months of doing that, they have now 1,719,900 signatures. And they really only needed 1.5 million. So they still, by 219,900 votes or signatures, they beat the threshold. So that's probably why he did that decree for the landlords to try and get some votes back, get some support back.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, too, 52% of the signatures were Democrats, too.
Well, that's wild. I did not know that.
That's heavy, too. Yeah, I was shocked when I heard about that. And the lady that was, I forget her name, that was running the whole recall, she wanted to make sure we had 2 million, and we surpassed that. It's funny to keep looking, want to make sure things dot the I's and cross the T's, and it's done. And it's like the number still keeps getting higher. But we made that threshold, and then looking at everything, 52% were Democrats in the state that signed their recall. And that's a strong message right there for us.
Okay, so I can put the article up, but maybe you can just tell me, where does it go from here? What's the timeline? What are you looking at? What happens next?
I think it's in September of next year is when they start doing the vote for him out and who's going to take the place. Like it's in the next step. So
he thinks holy that crap! Hold on, September of next year. He has over a year left. Of
he sure has some time left. Exactly.
Oh,
but
man.
this is he can't run again.
Yeah. Wow,
and that's the only purpose. The thing is, because it's like whoever takes his place will only really have it like a year of being in charge of it, being the governor
before he has to run again.
Exactly.
Yeah. Huh.
So, and myself, I don't mind if Bruce does it. So. I know there's not much out there for us to go for the next governor of our state. that one we have a Republican is Cox, and really not looking forward to him being in charge. Yeah, he's a transplant from Chicago.
Oh, great. Yeah. Well, listen, tell us that I said hi.
I want Rick Grinnell.
Rick Grinnell? Okay. Yeah. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Suzette. How are you?
Hello, hello. This is Rick Grinnell. The Trump's temporary CIA director until he had filled that position. Rick Grinnell, the one that released the Russiagate documents, unredacted. That Rick Grinnell.
I knew the name sound familiar, but I couldn't place it. He was the CIA director, is that what you said?
Temporary acting, yeah, until Trump found somebody to put in that position, because he's an ambassador otherwise, and he's been in that position for quite a while.
But he seemed kind of solid as from my recollection, as far as he was already like an ambassador, and then he needed somebody to fill in the director of. Yeah, so I mean, just off the top of my head, I'm kind of thinking back, saying, well, he seemed kind of solid as far as his character.
He's on the America First agenda.
He did, yeah.
Full transparency. When Trump tried to get all the documents released from so the public could see what happened with Russiagate, everything.
Mm-hmm.
Of course. The CIA and FBI had blocked him. So when Rick Grinnell got in there, he said, all right, release him. I have the power to release him. The last person that was holding him up is no longer here. I'm here. So do it.
There you go. Let's do it. Yeah, that's nice. Yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, yep. What else? Critical race theory. We got parents fighting back. I love it. Standing up to children.
Oh yes, I've seen a lot of examples of that around the country, different places.
Mm-hmm.
And
the more that people will stand up, the more people will stand up and hopefully put an end to that.
Yep. There's one guy in, I think it was Loudoun County, one guy that was getting applause from the crowd, and he criticized the police presence, and then they arrested him. For that, they arrested him for speaking out, and he's got a case. As far as I'm concerned, that was unprofessional and emotional. From the cop was
defensive. And the cops, they didn't seem like they were bothered. They had no problems doing what they did. That
tackling them.
I mean, it took three of them to get him down, and I don't know how, other than them walking him out, they ushered him out, obviously, but they had no problems doing the job, for sure.
But see, in my mind, he broke the mold as far as people worried about losing their job or, being viewed by their peers, the other parents in the school districts and so forth. So they'll speak out, but they won't go that extra mile. In this case, he got arrested, and he showed, okay, it doesn't hurt. It sucks, but it didn't hurt. So now hopefully more people that feared any type of consequence for speaking out as they should and as they're right, that they'll start going that extra mile and they can't arrest everybody.
That's true. So I got I'm finding that I can, as rugged as TikTok is and, Chinese and all the stuff that came along with it, that's where I'm getting some of my best information, and I have to kind of filter it through the filters of common sense and, how far do I want to go, that type of thing. But when there's a video of a guy that's talking to, a school board and he's tearing it up, it's kind of worth, there's not much out of context you can see. So I got one here that I want to play. It might be a minute or two, but this guy really gets after it, and some of them know him and stuff like that. So let me just play this one here real quick.
Okay.
Let me know if you can hear
Simon
it.
Simon Campbell, 1571 Brookfield Road, Lower Makefield Township. I'm a Pensbury School District resident, Pensbury School District taxpayer. I'm also a former member of the Governing Board of Directors, 2009 to 2013. It's nice to see the old faces. I'm here to speak today. I believe, Gary, you said it was item KKK in the agenda book. Well, isn't that just a perfect, perfect summation of what it is I'm here to talk about?
Can you hear it?
KKK, your proposed new school board policy, seeking once again to limit the constitutionally protected speech of American citizens. Now, when I sat on this school board, I believe some of you old-timers might remember this. A union guy spoke at public comment for 5 minutes and ripped me a new one. He called me the bastard child of Margaret Thatcher. And I sat there and I said to myself, okay, fair enough. Welcome to America. He considers me a bastard because I'm in the government. His logic is sound. Now, what happened was the superintendent and the school solicitor at the time freaked out and they didn't put the tape online the next day. And I called them up and I said, get the tape online now before we get sued for censorship. I yelled at the solicitor and I asked him what law school he went to, because it was clearly constitutionally protected rhetorical hyperbole. I can cite the case if you'd like. And I said to Paul Long, the superintendent at the time, don't ever cut the tape again, Paul. And by the way, bastard child of Margaret Thatcher, I took it as a compliment. Now, you snowflakes apparently have a bigger problem with public comment. It seems to me that you think you can supersede the United States Constitution. Well, I've got news for you, school board president Benito Mussolini. Your power does not supersede that of the U.S. Constitution and the First Amendment rights of the citizens of this great nation.
Yeah.
Let's be very, very clear who has the power.
Mr.
It is
Temple,
not government policy.
I will warn
policy.
You, I will
do
warn
not
you,
warn me or do
warn
not
you at this moment
time.
That
if you
make
time,
personal insults like that again, or
time.
If you personally direct your comments, you will
let
be asked
be very
to
clear.
Step away from
I'm,
the podium.
I'm going to
I am
quote
asking you to
your
make your comments,
I'm
but do not
just
do name calls
like over
you
me.
Just did.
This is my comment, not your comment. I'm quoting to you now from the United States Supreme Court 1964 case, New York Times versus Sullivan. This is constitutional case law in this country, and I'm quoting you from the U.S. Supreme Court. The judges wrote that this nation is founded on the, quote, profound national commitment to the principle that debate on public issues shall be uninhibited, robust, and wide open, and that it may well include vehement.
Well, that's the end of that little clip. It kind of reboots and starts again. But that was pretty cool. Yeah. Yep, that was Simon Campbell. He's trying to put them in their place. Yeah. Yeah, no, so that was awesome. And, you know, you can see last week there was a I can almost not hear you, Suzette, just so you know. But last week there was a woman that had done the same thing, and you know, just let them have it, and said, you know, look, you can't shut me down. This is what, you know, this is what we're here to do, you know, and they try to shut him off. And she, you know, she had her back up. She had her ducks in a row, and she really made them look stupid for, you know, talking about the critical race theory. And that's the, that's the trick that they're doing now, is they're saying, we're not teaching critical race theory. We're just teaching, you know, the history, and we're teaching, you know, how everything, all the tenets of critical race theory, but we're not calling it critical race theory.
Well, Mr. Simon also had gone on to nail them, because there was an email that had transpired between one of the council members, Dr. So-and-so, female, and the male, I guess the mayor, about the comments. And if they get out of hand, she will have to get better at using her mute button.
Oh, yeah. I heard about that. Yeah.
And I thought, wow, so okay, he did get his ducks in a row, and he made them look stupid, and they had to listen to him.
And everyone else. Well, the same thing was starting to go on in Loudoun County, Virginia. The same thing was starting to go on, and then they cut them off, and then they immediately took a vote to end public comment. When they had a couple hundred people lined up to speak, they just cut them off and shut them down. And that's where that guy got arrested. because he was like, you can't be shutting down public. This is what this is about. This is what it's all about. This is what we're here for, and we're protected. And then, you know, he was saying, you know, basically he was saying, shame on the police for enforcing this unconstitutional, you know, requests of the school board. And that's when apparently a deputy walked up and said, oh, okay, are you refusing to leave? He's like, well, yeah, I'm refusing to leave. Okay, then I would like this man arrested. And he got everybody going to arrest him. And then, you know, it's out of control, but they're getting pushback. So I got
they're getting pushback, and unfortunately, our police officers or some of our officers, when they swore their oath, they didn't swear it to the mayor, they didn't swear it to the governor, they swore it to uphold the Constitution and the
right.
laws, you know, that are under.
Yeah.
So they're upholding the mayor or who anybody else as far as on the ground, a human being, rather than the oath that they have sworn to uphold. And that's what gets me. And on the other hand, then we have sheriffs in blue states that are actually doing their job and upholding the Constitution and refusing the governor's orders to arrest people for not wearing their mask or whatever. So good for them, and I praise them and I applaud them and I encourage them to continue doing their job, you know, as it was intended to be. And I would hope that more law enforcement, local law enforcement, would look to that and see what they're doing is wrong by upholding a mayor's, you know, orders or a governor's orders and to do what they're supposed to do.
Instead of calling out the people that are giving them unconstitutional orders. So I got a buddy on Facebook. I got a buddy on Facebook that I, you know, he's way, way, way left. And he posts stuff from like Occupy Democrats or, you know, different places like that. So he posted one thing, and I, you know, it's like, I used to engage him. I used to try to use him kind of as a foil to, you know, explain concepts and principles to anybody else that might be reading the thread, because I know other people, you know, read the thread. And, you know, to me, he always ended up looking like an idiot, but whatever. So he posted this. He said, this is a meme type of thing. Why I'm not a Republican. I don't hate women. I don't hate minorities. I don't hate the poor. I don't hate gay people. I believe in evolution. I'm not greedy and I'm not a traitor. So I wrote, I was like, all right, you drew me back out on this. Unbelievable. You drew me back out. I said, this is outrageous for you to equate this with every Republican. I realized it's the Marxist narrative, but it's an asshole thing to post. You're engaging in extreme Marxism division without even realizing it. Ever step back and look at the BS you post? The test is how you would react if this were said about you. So then he responded. He said, I just posted this about myself. So feel free to repost it right back to me all day long. Also, instead of calling me an a-hole, please stop being an anti-democratic, brainwashed, misinformed, treasonous traitor to the United States. Have a nice day. So then I had to go back. I was like, all right, so now you made it personal. I said it was an a-hole thing to post. You just called me an anti-democratic, brainwashed, misinformed, treasonous traitor. I said, I believe in liberty. You believe in Marxism. And then he says, and he does this all the time, you believe whatever Newsmax and OAN tell you to believe. Good luck with that. I just posted on Facebook, and some quote-unquote Karen, who had a problem with people who actually live in reality, claimed exercising free speech is an a-hole thing to do. Doesn't get much more un-American than that. And then, a little Leave It to Beaver thing. Meme, because he's real quick with the memes. He must have a you know, dozens of them on hand. Well, gee, Wally, if they keep saying they have proof of voter fraud but won't show the proof, don't you think it sounds like they're lying? So then I wrote, I said, Marxism is un-American, and I'm not saying that you can't say whatever you want. I'm pushing back because you believe in correct things. You constantly bring up news sources you disagree with, but it has, for the 100th time, nothing to do with me. I don't, because I keep telling them, I don't watch Fox News. I don't watch, you know, whatever you say I watch. I said, ask yourself, if you had your way, would you have Newsmax and OAN shut up? Seems like it. So then he goes to the whole, you know, the other thing he always goes to. Okay, ha 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 ha, trolling emojis. If I am incorrect, where would I find the quote-unquote correct information? Is it still a secret only you know about? The hearings on Capitol Hill, C-SPAN, do not seem to support the narrative of your unknown opinion entity's propaganda Marxism. Propaganda mechanism. And then he's like, P.S., Marxist is a weapon word designed to keep you, the faithful, to the order. I said, you're incorrect that Republicans hate minorities, women, and the poor, and whatever other BS was in the post. My information comes from my heart. What I hate is the gaslighting and stereotypes about me that are not true. Stop trying to make it true just to justify your own hate.
Ooh, nice.
And then he said something about, what was it? There was something going on. Marxist, that's right, because I was typing that and this other thing. Marxist is the weapon word designed to keep you faithful to the order. So then I wrote, maybe, but you don't know the first thing about Marxism. Learn. Good luck. So then he says, oh, so my opinion is incorrect and your opinion is correct. That sounds exactly how indoctrinated cult members sound. I haven't read some of these yet. I can't. I'm like, I can't. So I said, it sounds exactly how cult members. Facts lead to the truth. Believing opinion equals truth is being gaslit. Enjoy your opinion shows. So then he says, I took some time and YouTube headings such as Fox Marxist, OAN Marxist, and Newsmax Marxist, and I found an echo chamber bouncing Marxist everywhere. That explains why it's the only response you have to anything you perceive as incorrect thinking, like holding out a religious cross against vampires. Then I wrote, nope. I said, read the stuff Marx wrote. I have. Then he says, Marx doesn't live here or even in this age. However, if that's the indoctrination you wish to believe above all else, it's your right to be led by anything or anyone you want. I choose the actual world I live in, truth, reality, and America. That was an exchange I had with a guy that I used to play with in a band. Anyway.
Oh, my God.
And he didn't throw Q in there.
No, he didn't. No, he didn't.
That's the next level up. We always got Bill Q in there.
Yeah, that's a go-to after everything else. Oh, so you're a Q follower. It's clear. You know, it's like, what do you mean it's clear? What are you talking about?
Anyways, I kind of wanted to get that exchange up on there so that on the podcast here. So
that was good. That was really good. My husband nailed it as far as, ooh, at the point that you just totally, he had to swallow that. He couldn't go anywhere else except for start laughing back out.
And he did.
Yep. Good job.
All right. Well, listen, Suzette and bringing it boy, I appreciate you guys calling in. I'm down to about a minute here in the show. So, you guys support and listening and calling in is fantastic. I appreciate it always. And I know G-Ski does as well. So he'll probably listen to the podcast a little later. And he'll love to hear you guys on. So anyways, thanks. And we'll take it out with we'll do the wives because we haven't done that for a few shows. All right. Renaissance Radio signing off. And remember, don't let your mood dictate your behavior.
When we do internet talk radio, we receive support from a great many areas. We have listener support, of course, and some who help with the promoting. One group that often goes unrecognized are the wives of Internet talk radio hosts. They are the ones who tolerate our dalliances and the time we invest in our hobbies. Well, this is one way we can properly recognize those who are closest to us by broadcasting their sincere sentiments regarding our passions.
Are you going to stay up all night? You have family, you know. You're always at that computer. How much money do you make doing that dumbass radio show? You're not the only one that lives there, you know. You better come and eat. I'm not bringing it in there.